Islamic unity. So far we have talked about different parts and aspects of the green path of the life of our Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his progeny. The Islamic unity is the most important issue which concerns all Muslims all around the world in accordance with their positions and decrees, because Islamic unity is not a political issue only. It starts from the bond and solidarity between two Muslims in relation to their brotherhood in faith, and it reaches to the very high meanings and the solidarity between all Muslims throughout the entire Islamic world. We're going to discuss the matter with Dr. Sham Ali tonight. Stay with us. Dr. Sham Ali, welcome to the 12th edition of A Palm in the Desert. Thank you for coming. Actually, for the third time, we're quite happy to have you in this program. Tonight, we're going to talk about the Islamic unity. As all of us know, the leader of the Islamic Republic gives a topic for each year, and that's not a topic for the Iranian nation only. That's for the whole Muslims all around the world. And the topic for this year was it transfers a high meaning, and that is the national unity and Islamic integration. As a student of the School of Prophet, what is the idea of this school of thought about this high meaning of unity and that special unity among Muslims?
Thank you. I need to express my respect and my salams to all brothers and sisters who are watching this program. As you mentioned, this is indeed a type of livelihood of the prophetic teachings and prophetic tradition, which is manifested in the sayings of the Supreme Leader of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This shows his sharp-mindedness and his cleverness in seeing the gaps and problems and needs of the Muslim today. I believe that the very need for Muslim today is the need for coming together and being united one-handed. And on the other hand, it shows that prophetic teachings and prophetic tradition is still alive, because you are listening to the same voice as Prophet. When Supreme Leader talks about national unity and international Islamic integration, it means that there are threats, there are dangers which are surrounded us. So we need to be careful and to come together and put the finger on the commonalities.
This Muslim unity was actually a great wish. Was it a wish for the Prophet in the last days of his life? And how did he care about this unity? And how did he show it to the nation?
Very interesting question. Both in theory and practice, from the early days of his divine mission, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam decided and tried much to bring the Muslims and his followers together. From the very first day, when he realized that people are coming to him, when the followers came to Prophet, they were pushed aside by their families, by their groups, by their tribes, even by their nation, and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam must provide an alternative to keep them together and to provide them a type of uniting alternative. And that was faith. That was Islam, which brought together the Muslim. But as you mentioned, these concerns remained energetic, remained alive in the whole personality of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I remember that on his last pilgrimage to Hajj, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam invited all Muslims from all over the world to come to Hajj, to take the teachings and rituals of Hajj from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself while he was present in the ceremony.
You mean there are messages of this unity in the ritual of Hajj?
Exactly. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was standing on the mountain or on the hill of Safa, looking the people who were circumambulating around Kaaba, and he was very, very happy. But suddenly it came to him an opposite type of feeling, sadness, because he was concerned. He was sad about the future, very close future. Is it the case that this type of integration and unity remains forever? Are the Muslim clever enough, careful enough to take care of this type of integration? He was happy to see that integration, but he was sad about the future of Islam, because he was not sure that Muslims are able to keep and hold this type of product of 23 years of efforts.
Thank you very much. Nowadays, politicians and sociologists say that politics and faith together brings about clashes and fights. The question remains to be answered right after a short break. Dr. Shamili, nowadays, every here and there, we hear that politicians and sociologists say that faith and politics, religion and politics together bring about clashes and fights. Is that true or not? And what are the justifications, if not?
Of course, this is a discussion and dispute. Even when we refer to the history, we see different types of clashes, fightings, combats, campaigns. But they look like to be based on faith and religion, while it is not. Why? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from the very beginning of his mission, tried to invite people to feel togetherness, to feel care, to feel responsibility. In Quran, we have a very interesting verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ. All faithful, all the believers, are indeed brothers and sisters. So faith and religion in its nature brings brotherhood.
Not clash.
If you see clash, if you see fightings, if you see challenges, they are not religious. They are not rooted in faith. They depend on other worldly motives, wishes. We are looking for our own interest, worldly interest, economical interest, political interest, whatever. Faith in its nature brings brotherhood, togetherness, and compassion. Even Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was not only inviting the Muslims to come together and be 100, but also he was inviting the followers of other religion. You know, in chapter Al-Imran, verse 64, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ تَعَالَوْا إِلَىٰ كَلِمَةٍ سَوَاءٍ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكُمْ Allah na'budu illallah wa la nushrika bihi shay'a. Tell to the people of the scripture. Tell to the people of the book. Ta'ala, come. Come to a word which is shared, which is common between us and you. And what is that? To worship one creator, one Lord, one Allah. So still, if you go beyond Islam, and if you come and enter to the other faith, you see the core and the center for the unity. So it is not just Islamic faith or Christian faith or Jewish faith. This is a type of teaching and instruction from all divine faiths that people must come together because of the same target, of the same aim. All prophets came from one God and came and are sent to humanity for the same mission. So how come that they have clash? They must have clash. Why? If there is a clash, it is not religious. It is not based on faith. You should look for other political, economical, and things like that. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam always tried to bring people, regardless of their nationality, of their race, to come together and be one-handed. Prophet said, "Al-mu'minun ka'asnan al-mushd." All believers and faithfuls are like the teeth of the comb. They are located before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the same position, at the same status. If there is any priority, it goes back to your taqwa and piety. Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. Wherever, whoever you are, from every nation and every corner of the world, there is no mind. The thing that provides you priority is what? Is piety, submission and dedication to the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Do you think in reality we are, even the Muslims, are actually holding these teachings?
Unfortunately, no.
Why not?
There are problems. You know, we live at the age of information society. So influence is a reality, is a fact for the people, for the citizens of all cultures. While Muslims are not taking care of their teachings and they are not putting the theories into practice and try to be Muslim by name, unfortunately, then you'll see that every day, every and each day, we are distanced from the real outcomes, real results of the Islamic teachings. If we were dedicated and submitted to prophetic teachings, then we were better than today. Unfortunately, Western culture has created the culture of indifference, even among us as Muslim. Then we look like non-Muslim, although we claim we carry the name of Islam, and we claim that we are Muslim, but in reality and in practice, we are following non-Islamic values.
Okay, thank you very much. Next, we're going to talk about Muhammad's educative system. We'll watch a short part, and then we'll be back with the discussion.
Teacher, the teacher of teachers. He changed the world for the better and made us better creatures. Oh Allah, we've shamed ourselves, we've strayed from Al-Mu'allim. Surely we've wronged ourselves, what will we say in front of him? He was Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Muhammad, mercy upon mankind, teacher of all mankind, أبا القوسين يا حبيبي يا محمد يا شفيعي يا محمد خير خلق الله محمد يا مصطفى يا إمام المرسلين يا مصطفى يا شفيع العالمين يا مصطفى يا Others slept while others ate, he'd fast. While they would laugh, he wept until he breathed his last. His only wish was for us to be among the ones who prosper. Ya Mu'allim, peace be upon you, truly you are our teacher. He was Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Muhammad, mercy upon mankind, teacher of all mankind. Oh. To be just and kind, and to feed the poor and hungry, help the wayfarer and the orphan child, and to not be cruel and miserly. His speech was soft and gentle, like a mother stroking her child. His mercy and compassion were most radiant when he smiled.
He was Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Muhammad, mercy upon mankind. He was Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Muhammad, mercy upon mankind, teacher of all mankind. Aba al-Qusayn, ya Habibi, ya Muhammad, ya Shafi'i, ya Muhammad, khayru khalqillahi Muhammad.
Ya Mustafa, ya Imam al-Mursalina, ya Mustafa, يا شفيع العالمين يا مصطفى يا إمام المرسلين يا مصطفى يا شفيع العالمين يا مصطفى يا إمام المرسلين معلم
We believe that the Prophet's educative system was the best and the most suitable ground for Muslims' unity. What ways and methods did the great Prophet take to actualize this unity?
Very important question. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam provided not only the theories, the teachings, the ideas, the opinions with regard to the Islamic unity, but also in practice, he performed methods and ways to bring together Muslims, men and women, male and female. It is very interesting that both in Mecca and in Medina, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was trying to create a core of brotherhood, particularly after his migration to Medina. The first important issue in the whole life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the brotherhood treaty. There were helpers, Mujahideen, who accompanied Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Mecca and other cities to Medina. Prophet realized that they are homeless. They are alone because they left behind their families, their properties, their wealth. They needed alternative. So, immediately he decided to create a new policy, brotherhood treaty or brotherhood contract. He decided to make brotherhood between each helper and each immigrant, Ansar and Mujahideen, and said, you are brother in terms of faith, in terms of your ideology, Islamic ideology, in terms of your religion. This was the first. Gradually, step by step, he tried to create, to invent creatively new policies for the unity. For example, culture of care with regard to your neighborhood. If really you are Muslim, if truly you claim that you are the follower of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is not possible for you to be careless and indifferent with regard to your
neighbors.
I remember a very interesting and shocking story from Fatimah al-Zahra, the daughter of Prophet. Once she was very sad. She visited Prophet. And Prophet realized that Fatima is very, very sad. I don't know why. He said, wait, I have something special for you. And Prophet provided a tradition, a narration to his daughter Fatima. Fatima got very happy. She got impressed by receiving those precious prophetic saying. Do you know what was that? There were three sentences.
Does it regard, what you just said?
Exactly. Neighbors? Exactly. Look, the sentence, the tone, the rhythm of the sentence. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir fala yu'dhi jarah." Those who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in hereafter, never they bother and make problem for their neighbors. Fatima gave this saying to her servant Fizza. After a while, she asked for that saying. Fizza said, it seems that I have lost it. Fatima said, what? You've lost it. The prophetic saying, do you know that the value of this prophetic saying to me is equal to the whole life of my two sons, Hassan and Hussein? These are the Islamic teachings with regard to your neighbor, not to your brother, not to your sister, not to your father, your neighbor. Even according to the Islamic narrations, up until 40 gates, you have responsibility to take care. If you're rich, if you're wealthy, if you're healthy, and you see any gap in your surroundings, you have responsibility. In terms of marriage, people were doing the marriage in terms of social stratification. If you belong to high culture, you were looking for your wife from a high culture citizen. If you belong to the low culture, you must refer to that level. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "La fadla ala arabiyyan, la fadla la arabiyyan ala a'jami, wa la a'jamiyyan ala arabi." There is no superiority for you, whether you are Arab or non-Arab. The superiority in Islam goes back to the level of your faith and your practice. In terms of neighborhood, in terms of marriage, in terms of the society as a whole, al-mu'minun ka asnan al-mushd, before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all the believers, like the teeth of a comb, with no difference, with no priority. You are the same. إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. One level higher. Beyond all this, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was thinking about Islamic globalization, Islamic internationalism. In Islam, there is no nationality. There is no, never mind you belong to this country or that country, this geographical corner or that geographical corner. The very core is your faith. So, Muslims belong to one faith, one religion, one core, regardless of your geographical place, regardless of your nation, regardless of your country.
A question just strikes me. I'm going to ask the question, but first let's watch a short hadith and then we'll be back.
Okay, thanks.
Before I ask my question, what were you going to say about Islamic nationalism and
internationalism?
Right.
Islamic globalism. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has a very famous saying. He said, "Man asbaha wa la yahtamma bi umur al-muslimin." Those who begin their day, your daily life, without having any concern about their needs, the difficulties and the problems and the challenges of your sisters and brothers in faith, those who do not have any concern about, you know, their brothers and sisters, they are not considered Muslim. This shows Islamic globalization.
And my question, we heard sometime a narration from the Prophet Muhammad that he said that this disintegration among Muslims, mm-hmm. or my nation, is a type of a sign of compassion, somewhat like that. Is that a paradox?
Very important and critical question. You know, the very foundation of this discussion tonight goes back to a fact that always, always unity stems from the divine compassion. When there is unity, when there is togetherness, when there is integration, it means that there is divine compassion. And when there is disintegration, it means that there is the place of Satan. You know, there are signs and signals of the divine punishment. This is a fact. Disintegration stems from Satan and divine punishment. Integration, unity and togetherness stems from divine compassion. But there is a hadith, even among the Sunni Muslim and Shi'i Muslim. They say, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has said, اِخْتِلَافُ أُمَّتِي رَحْمَةِ. Disintegration of my nation is a divine compassion. Someone came to Imam Sadiq. He said, people are narrating from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam exactly opposite to the unity that we talked tonight, we discussed. That Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ikhtilaf ummati rahma," disintegration of my nation is compassion. Is it true? Imam Sadiq said, "Yes, this narration comes from Prophet." Then the narrator asked Imam, if this is the case, then we have to try for disintegration instead of integration. Imam said, no, you are going in a wrong way. When Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, اِخْتِلَافُ أُمَّتِي رَحْمَةً, you need to keep in mind, إِنَّمَا الدِّينُ وَاحِدٍ, إِنَّمَا الدِّينُ وَاحِدٍ. Religion is one. Whatever Moses
Jesus, Prophet Muhammad, Ibrahim, Adam, 124,000 prophets brought is one. One package. One God, one package. Of course, depending on the issues and needs of the time and places. إِنَّمَا الدِّينُ وَاحِدٌ What do you mean by اختلاف, by disintegration? اختلاف and disintegration in this prophetic saying means coming from your city toward Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, taking the teaching and come back to your nation to provide them the teaching. It does not mean dispute, clashes, and disintegration.
I would also like to ask you one last question, but very shortly because we are quite short of time. When we talk about unity, does that mean we totally abandon our own views or what?
No. Whenever we talk about unity, it means that despite having our own opinion, we put the finger on commonalities. Instead of being melting pot, it would be better to be a salad bowl. In a salad bowl, you have all types of vegetables. Cucumber, carrot, you know, pepper, whatever. But, you know, every and each ingredients are there, but they come together and made a beautiful salad. So unity means you have your own opinion, personal and individual opinion and perspective, but in practice you try to put the finger on commonalities.
Thank you very much for that. Our religion, our nation, our countries can only be protected through the great power which can be generated through Muslims and the whole Islamic world's actually solidarity, and the solidarity and brotherhood among Muslims all around the world. And that will serve to the general global peace. Thank you for watching our program tonight. As I said at the beginning of the program, we're actually reaching toward the end of the first series, and next time the 13th program is going to be the questions and answers, actually responses to the emails. So if there are any questions or things to say about our program, please email us at sahatv@irb.ir. Thank you again very much for being with us. Join us next week at the same time. We'll be here with the last edition of the first series of The Palm in the Desert. Good night.